Welcome back to In Depth. My second interview with my second guest is LaVon Brooks, president and CEO of... Well, it's not High Sierra Industries anymore, is it, LaVon?
Well, it still is officially Sierra Industries
right
and WRC together.
Okay.
We are actually in the process of changing our name.
Oh, and a little rebranding?
Yes, exactly. Rename, rebrand to reflect changing times with regard to services for people with disabilities.
Right.
So a little bit about that.
Okay. Do you want to reveal the name or do you want to wait? Kind of just tease people right now.
Do you want to do?
Whatever you want. No, it's up to you, really.
Well, what will cause people to listen to us for the,
that's true. I'd say the next nine minutes.
Oh, well, we revealed it actually officially on the 12th of April.
Oh, okay.
It is iCelerate.
iCelerate.
We were teasing ourselves a little bit with the name. It sounds a little bit like salary, and there is an actual function of the name and a background for the name, and it represents our sort of forward-thinking ideals for how we see ourselves in the future, providing services to people with disabilities and those who support them.
Beautiful. And yeah, well, that was going to be my next kind of question is what does your organization do? Kind of even the nuts and bolts, if you want to get really into it.
Sure, absolutely. We've been around since the 50s. As WARC, which originally was an ARC, Association for Retarded Children, then became Retarded Citizens. And then as we've really looked at retiring the whole use of the R word when we refer to somebody with intellectual disability,
right.
They've sort of shortened that to ARC. But WARC became Washoe Ability Resource Center officially around 2007. Then High Sierra Industries, founded in 1977, also for the purpose of serving people with disabilities, providing pre-employment training primarily and jobs for people that had, you know, fairly profound intellectual disability. And so the two companies merged in 2009.
Okay.
Becoming actually the Nevada's second largest organization in the state that serves people with disabilities, the largest being in Southern Nevada,
okay.
Opportunity Village, our sister organization in the South.
Okay.
So about 5 years ago, we every 2 years we do fairly in-depth retreat with our board and our leaders in the organization and our leadership team. And we also invite leaders from the community to join us during that all-day retreat to examine our future, to examine strategies for how are we serving and how can we best do that. And about 5 years ago, we had a very courageous conversation about the services that we provided to people with disabilities and said, if we really, really want to do this work, how we should be thinking about it is that our work, our agency is no longer needed.
Mm.
And that was a big, well,
wow.
What does that really mean?
That's a heck of a wake-up call, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. What that really means is we can lull ourselves over time as a nonprofit to think that, well, our services will always be necessary. And yet, if you start to really think about what would it take for us not to be needed?
Right.
You start thinking in a whole different direction mm-hmm. as a nonprofit because, what our board chair at the time challenged us to think about is that we need to not think about ourselves as being in business for ourselves. That's really not the goal of a nonprofit.
That's true.
It is to address a need in the community, figure out how to get that need met, and then fade into the sunset, do something else.
Focus on another
exactly,
issue that might need.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And when isn't focus. That really the reason? And we can really get caught up in, and I know this isn't really about that as an organization, but I want to provide you with some insight into how we came up with this sort of name and the direction in which we started to head. And it was really about, wow, how would we think and would we think differently if that were the case?
Yeah.
And so we started to think about then the systems that we have already in our culture, in our economy, would really need to serve people with disabilities in an effective way. That means the school systems, the entitlement systems need to start training people with intellectual disabilities, disabilities of all kinds, really, mm-hmm. In ways that allows them to be integrated and to be part of, as opposed to apart from,
right.
our everyday life. And so we started to think about those things very differently, which at that time was the input that causes to add and those who support them to our mission statement, because as we looked at the population of people with disabilities that we serve, we really had to start thinking about how do we teach the facilitators, teach the teachers. And we started on a path of hiring and bringing into our organization professionals educated in and or practicing in the area of learning science. In that world, in our world, it's behavior analysis and also education systems, which are curriculums that will are sort of interactive curriculums which allow people to learn. And then applying to that measurement of outcomes. Okay. So is our learner really learning, and are they learning at a speed that helps them maintain their interest? So I'm going to ask you a question sort of unfairly. I'll put you on the spot.
Hey, wow. I've never experienced this. Go for it.
What subject in school did you really like?
Honestly, I was a big arts person.
Okay. So, I would have guessed that,
choir.
Right?
I was
choir,
in choir. I was choir in the morning. Yeah, that was my basically my impetus for going to school. Sometimes.
There you go.
I get to go to choir.
That caused you to get up in the morning.
Exactly.
And what about math?
Oh, not my best. I didn't hate it, but it wasn't my best subject.
It wasn't your best subject. And how quickly did you learn music?
Really quickly.
Right. How quickly did you learn the concepts of math and arithmetic?
I was slower than some.
Yeah.
Wasn't horrible.
Yeah. And you know what? It is not different for atypical learners.
Right.
Right? And we tend to think of atypical learners, and that's when I say that, I'm referring to a person with an intellectual disability. They learn differently, perhaps, than you and I.
Right.
They may learn at a different speed than you and I. We also discover in this world of education that we don't have very good systems of measurement by virtue of what are a person's true skills and strengths. We tend to measure along an axis of 100%, but not over time. So let's just say that you learned those songs in choir, but it took you a month to learn them.
Yeah.
How good of a choir mate are you going to be if you're singing off key for a month? If it takes you a month to learn a song, right?
Right.
I would guess that you learned those songs much faster than you learned arithmetic because it's something that you liked.
Passionate about.
Exactly. And we would say that's reinforcing to you because you have success, and that success leads to what? Desire, right? I want to do more of that.
Right.
How often do we present people who are atypical learners, or even just kids in general in school, we continue to present them with challenges? Well, you know, you're failing over here. So let's focus more on that.
Right.
Let's focus more on the stuff that you can't do. I just want to let that settle in for a second. How does that feel? As a learner.
It's a little discouraging.
Yeah.
It'd be discouraging.
So let's just say I'm an atypical learner. I have some profound disability. I may be a person on the autism spectrum who doesn't choose to speak. And many people with autism have the capability of speaking. They simply don't.
Yeah.
And it's for a variety of reasons. And perhaps and we don't know what those are. But they have a lot of other skill sets, and it's up to us to sort of unlock those and present them with learning things that allow them to be successful, and then we build on that success.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's a really good way of thinking about it.
And that's essentially how we do it, and we do that with learning science, where we can actually understand various ways that people communicate. One of the things that we discovered we have day services, we have residential services, and we have employment and job development services all in our agency. And one of the things that we developed with a person that we served for a number of years is that we were assuming that they were making selections with what we called their fine motor skills by selecting pictures and presenting those pictures to their facilitator to make choices for their day. What we discovered in looking at fine-tuning that a little more is that they weren't actually making those selections. What was happening is that the person they were working with knew them so well after many years of serving with them, they were actually making selections with their eyes. And the facilitator was picking up the picture based on those visual cues. So when we started to fine-tune that, so we were able to present that person with choices and then watching their visual selection so that we could, so in that case, getting their selections correct 100% of the time as opposed to 30 or 40% of the time when we miss the visual cue.
Right. And you're kind of just guessing.
Sometimes. Yeah, we're looking for something different. Now I ask you and your listeners to think about, our listeners, what would it be like if only 50% of the time or 40% of the time in your day, if you made a request, that people would actually respond to you only 40% of the time?
Yeah, or they misinterpret what you're
right. That's what I'm saying. So only 40% of the time do you get your needs met. Or let's just say that one of those requests is I need to use the restroom right now.
Right.
Ah!
Yeah. That's you get in a little scary territory there.
Yeah. So what we envision ourselves doing is fine tuning curriculum, learning systems, evaluation systems, or what we call skills assessment systems for people with disabilities to basically increase the success rate of those outcomes and really providing people with an opportunity to have more accurate methods by which they can have a life and make choices for themselves.
Wonderful. Well, how can people support you in that endeavor? I mean, where can they find you online? That sort of thing.
Yes. Right now, our website is still hsireno.com.
Okay.
Until we change it. Eventually, when we do change to iCelerate, we will have a new website, but it'll point, you can still find us through there.
Okay.
In September, we're having our major fundraiser, which is the Extreme Ability Challenge.
Wonderful.
We invite people from the community to put teams together and take the Extreme Ability Challenge, where it's like a relay race. You have a baton.
Okay.
And what you're doing is doing various things that a person with a disability might do. And we essentially, for that moment in time, we give you a challenge. Like you might have to do, put some nuts and bolts and screws in a bag, which is one of the things we do at HSI. We do hardware kits.
Oh, okay.
And you might have to do that with a blindfold on.
Oh, wow.
And get the parts correct.
Okay.
Two of the challenges in the course are in a wheelchair. You have to go through a door, you have to close a door, or you have to open a door.
Right.
And then another two of the challenges is doing sign language. A person has to sign and the other person has to interpret.
Okay. All right. Well, very cool. So what was the website again? I want to make sure I have it.
HSIReno.com.
Okay. Awesome. This has been a wonderful conversation. Thank you for enlightening us. LaVon Brooks from HSI, soon to be iCelerate.
Yes.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ian.